Hey there, and welcome to the latest episode of Mobile Wallet Marketing Made Easy, the podcast that helps you navigate the ever-changing landscape of mobile marketing. Hi there, and welcome to another episode of Mobile Wallet Marketing Made Easy. I'm Kim Stewart.
And I'm Hazel Fruitman. And today the topic is loyalty program setup and management using mobile. What's the current state of the customer loyalty program? How often do your loyal customers do business with you? What can you do to increase their total overall purchases?
Cool. So this episode's topic is the loyalty program. How to figure out what you need, the best, cheapest way to get a good loyalty program that works for you, and how to easily convince your customers to use the darn thing.
I mean, obviously there are many ways to skin a cat, but the bottom line is that customers like to be rewarded for their loyalty to you, especially if you can do that in a way that is not only convenient for them, but actually targets what they want to see as a reward for their loyalty to you.
So we just want to mention before we dive into the specifics of loyalty that we've got a podcast episode in the archives. It's number 28, and it's an extended second part of a little mini series we did about the cost of building mobile apps yourself versus buying into using an existing mobile wallet app like Apple Wallet or some third-party Android apps to run your customer offers and interactions via mobile.
Right. We're obviously on the opinion that building an app is a dumb idea. Unless you're somebody like Starbucks or Southwest Airlines, you know, super large group of existing customers and a great reason to make people use your app. Think boarding passes in a wallet. And there's a fantastic reason, but Southwest Airlines, United, etc., they are all using Apple Wallet as a parallel to their own apps. And if you didn't know that. So without these two things, no one is going to use your app. It's too much effort.
Right. So we're probably at the point now where you're thinking, well, I'm not entirely sure what a mobile wallet does that makes it useful for advertising, much less why you'd want to run a loyalty program with it. So Hazel's going to give you the two-minute rundown on the basics of mobile wallet passes.
All right. So a mobile wallet pass lets you communicate with the user right on their mobile device. You can send a mobile update that are seen right on the lock screen. And a mobile wallet pass has a front and a back to it. The front of the pass shows who you are, your title, your company name. The back of the pass has more details, call to action links, so customer support links, they can get in touch with you just in one tap. Listen links for a podcast,
social media, YouTube videos.
Exactly. You can share the pass easily from mobile to mobile, from whatever social media profile you prefer. It works with all of them. Loyalty works with this as well. Once the pass is installed, the loyalty is key in this case. So we're going to explain that. We're going to move on right now to talk about that, identify a couple of common loyalty programs and detailing how they traditionally have been working.
Perfect. So the loyalty program, as we know it today, really was invented by grocery store chains in like the late 1990s or the early 2000s. Now, we're not saying there weren't customer appreciation programs prior to that, but connecting a phone number with the loyalty program and making the phone number become the identifier, that was truly a genius maneuver. The first thing, it meant that customers no longer needed to carry around loyalty cards or those stupid key fob things, even though the key fob things were good for branding, we have to admit. And customers were always identifiable by something that they knew and they weren't going to forget. And that, of course, was their own phone number.
Right. I mean, that's just so super genius, I can't tell you. It inflated loyalty program use by multiples of thousands. Just a giant stride forward for the concept. I mean, supermarkets were also quick to give out discounts to loyalty program users, and that encouraged more people to shop with their loyalty connection.
Well, yeah, and then they have the added benefit to the stores. So even more than making the shoppers happy, the stores started to identify and understand inventory, and they began to be able to target based on demographics. And this did so much for inventory chain management.
Yeah, so if you knew that a shopper who lived in a certain area, almost like a micro niche, was going to buy product A, let's say it's frozen chicken breasts, and that's a large percentage of those people would pair it with product B, let's say potatoes, for the sake of argument, then a logical process would be to offer customers a discount on product C, which could be perhaps a sauce, seasoning mix designed for chicken.
Cool. So while there's profit in the chicken and in the potatoes, the real profit for the store started to come in a couple of ways. Inventory control and prediction became more real time and a lot less about stocking large amount of items that might not be selling. And they could do this based on trends. When you take the product combination that Hazel just described, now you've got your high profit product, which in this case was product C, the seasoning mix. You've just managed to increase the per ticket sales per customer because the customers weren't necessarily buying the seasoning mix with the chicken and the potatoes. You still keep the profit margin on the chicken and potatoes, and then you've got the add-on of the seasoning mix as an enticement to buy the chicken and therefore the potatoes. So this was like really starting to put all of the pieces of the loyalty program together. Then you threw into the mix things like recipes that included all of the different stuff. So, you know, to talk about the basic premise, Hazel.
Okay, yeah. So basically, that's a good description of how a loyalty program successfully works. And as time went on, the bells and whistles got to be bigger and louder. And the next thing you know, we've come to accept automated programs like BOGO, buy one, get one, to reduce dated inventory. And then we move into geo-targeting and proximity marketing to further manage inventory while giving customers something special as they would see it.
Cool. So that's great.
Yeah.
That works for the grocery store. But how can you translate all this into a loyalty program that doesn't cost an arm and a leg for the average business? I mean, obviously, we believe that it's through mobile wallets and leveraging existing technology on the cheap to build a program that not only suits your needs, but also makes your customers smile when they feel like you're either saving them money or giving them some kind of a bonus.
Yeah, and one of the other amazing innovation that's been moving towards forefront since these programs started is the absolute tethering of mobile devices to our bodies. I mean, most of the people I know will leave the house without their wallet and figure out how to get through the day. If we leave our house without the phone, then they turn around and go back home to get it. I mean, and because we're so tied in with mobile phones now, it makes it a no-brainer to extend the loyalty program onto the phones and make it even easier for customers to benefit in a variety of ways.
You know, it's like nobody's going to forget a punch card on their phone. And I'll give you a perfect example of this. If you have ever been into the American West, then you probably know Pinkberry.
Yes.
Pinkberry is the frozen yogurt place that is like cult status. And honestly, I was really sad to leave California because the closest Pinkberry to Phoenix is in Tucson. So that's not close at all. Like I deliberately try to go to airports that have Pinkberry. And for the longest time, they had these little paper punch cards and you would get a little stamp for each yogurt that you bought. So if you went in and bought two or three yogurts, you'd get two or three stamps. Now, I could never remember to put the stupid things in my wallet. Like I would run in with like $10 in cash. They would give me my change back. They would punch the cards. I'd stick it in my pocket. And I'd go home and I'd have five or six of them with two or three punches laying around at any moment.
Right.
So then I'd have to take them all to the store and ask them to combine them into a single card. Now, some of the employees weren't super keen on this because their rules were technically against it. Then they went to a plastic card setup, and that was even worse. So now instead of having little pieces of paper with stupid sticker punches on them, now I've got plastic cards stashed everywhere, and they wouldn't combine those. Okay. So I was so super glad that they just went to phone numbers. And, you know, they always claimed it was their point of sale system, that they couldn't do this or they couldn't do that. And, you know, it was reasonably in the days before mobile phones were, you know, where they are now. I mean, now if you walk into Pinkberry, you're only going to need your phone. They take Apple Pay, which is also part of Apple Wallet, as a payment method, and the loyalty program is built right into the phone. Now, the only real drawback I see to their loyalty program at the moment, aside from the fact that we weren't their vendor, is if they're going to use Apple Pay as an ideal payment method, why aren't they using Apple Wallet to manage the loyalty in the same part of the transaction? Why do you have to go and use a separate app? I think that's silly. I think that's stupid, and I think they'll come to regret that at some point.
Right. So you can set up a loyalty program to monitor sales per item. You know, like buy 10, get one free as if it were points, where each dollar spent is equal to a certain number of points.
Right. So you can do points or you can do items.
Right. Yeah. Right. And when a customer reaches a specific number of points, they can cash them in for the discount or a freebie.
Right. Sephora. Great example of that. Yes. One. They're on the point system.
Yes.
So either one of these is pretty easy to execute, but you, the listener, the business owner, you are going to want to determine which idea works best for your traffic and customer base. You know, for instance, that if you are a fast casual restaurant or a yogurt shop or something like that, you're going to do well with item counts, things like buy 10 tacos, get one free. Now, retail stores who sell merchandise with a varied pricing structure, they're probably going to lean more towards points per dollar. Again, you know, I mentioned Sephora, and work the redemptions from that angle.
Right. So once you've figured out what the best approach is to your customer demographics, then it's time to add a couple of bells and whistles. These are things like lock screen notifications, geofencing, or iBeacon style proximity marketing. You're also not limited to just loyalty with some systems, like for ours, for instance, and you can often do additional promotions like proximity-based coupons or offers. Something that averages better than 60% redemption rate almost immediately if you present the shopper with a lock screen notification when they're nearby your business location and can do
the purchase. Or they can do the purchase online.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you can push events and opportunities for non-purchase rewards as well. And we've got some customers that have great success with this. Like, if you're a clothing retailer, for instance, and you're going to have like a high-end trunk show at your store one evening at, you know, like closing time or on a Saturday, whatever, and you're going to serve champagne and hors d'oeuvres at the event, rather than sending out a lock screen notification that says, hey, I've got such and such designer doing a trunk show, come in and spend some money on something expensive, you might want to use that lock screen notification to say, hey, like, we're having a free bubbly and nibbles event, and the trunk show is just like an auxiliary to that. So you're doing it as, here's our customer appreciation event. We're going to serve you free champagne and free food. And oh, by the way, if you want to happen to buy this really expensive merchandise at the trunk show while you're in here having our free champagne and food, well, that's great.
Yeah. I mean, there's just a tremendous amount of creative marketing that you can do with loyalty. And if you tie it into mobile, that's really where your hook is going to be. So we set up some customized programs for all kinds of business owners, everything from country clubs to retailers to restaurants, and that's just a fraction of the list. So we're always happy to talk about loyalty as a marketing tool, and we would, of course, be happy to talk to you about how your business can creatively use mobile loyalty and offers to kick off your next campaigns.
Yeah, sure. I mean, obviously, we set up a lot of customized things for people. We incorporate events with offers, with loyalty, and really can make a nice customized program based on your products, your type of business, the demographic that you're trying to reach. So literally, mobilewalletmarketer.com, you can go check it out, fill out the contact form if you need us to do something custom, or you know, you could just test out one of the existing products. We've got some free trials on there, and I think that kind of wraps it up for this week.
It does. I just want to mention more on this loyalty program. We do have a lot of articles on mobilewalletmarketer.com, as Kim mentioned, on Atlas Rewards as well, to take a look. And if you have any questions, give us a heads up.
Sweet. Have a great time, and we will see you next episode.